So the topic of using text messages to engage with students, I think, has really, I think in both of our kind of professional careers, really blossomed into an area that's kind of beyond just kind of, you know, maybe automated or just emergency use kind of things where you're trying to kind of blast out like information. It can still be that, but then there's so many more really interesting implications and applications of text messaging. Text messaging of students as an engagement avenue. So we're going to talk about that very generally. We're going to talk about it specifically kind of in the context of residence life and room packed and all that kind of stuff. And we have Paul. Good to have you back with us to have this conversation.
Yeah. It's great to be back. It's good to be on the other side. I get to be asked some of the tough questions, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to look forward, I think, to doing this a little bit more. Obviously, Paul has so much expertise just, you know, through his entire career and being in this space with RoomPact for years. So, we'll get into it because I think there's a lot to explore with, I think, what maybe would seem to some people at the outset to be a pretty simple thing where it's like, hey, do we want to do this or not? And let's just kind of maybe kind of go forth with it. But a lot of things to kind of think through to avoid any kind of pitfalls and just maximize the potential. So, we can start out kind of with the RoomPact context. We'll kind of go, I guess, small to large, you know. So through your platform, I guess, just give us kind of the history of like the functionality and how this feature came to be and some of those kind of nuts and bolts.
You know, RoomPact as a platform allows for text messaging through the platform, and you can send messages to students. This is not necessarily unique to RoomPact. There are a number of different solutions, some of which may already be in operation on other people's campuses that allow the text messaging. What I think is particularly interesting about RoomPact's implementation of it is that it's two-directional. So typically when people think of sending text messages to residents or to student populations on campus, I think every campus at this point has some form of text message emergency alert system, right? I don't think I've ever encountered a campus that doesn't have that in 2023. But those are generally built for one-way blasts, right? This is happening. You need to react to this. Please do the following. We'll provide follow-up instructions. RoomPact can be used in that way, but it can also be used to engage in a conversation with a resident. So they can reply back. You can then reply back to them to the platform. And that's what makes it a little bit different or unique. And that's why even thinking about text messaging, this is about engagement, right? An alert system isn't really engagement. It's pushing information out to people. But this actually allows you to do that kind of back and forth engagement. And it's a feature that's been with us actually since almost the beginning of RoomPact. All the way back to the start. And people still experiment with it, try it in different ways, some schools more successfully than others. And so that's actually kind of what I wanted to come on today to talk about a little bit is, you know, how do you make it successful? What is it best used for? How do we set up if we haven't gone down this path? But really, I'd say since COVID-19 had started, this feature suddenly became much more interesting and important to people than it had been in the past. Cause it really kind of pushed people to say, oh, we need alternate communication methods. And so we saw a huge uptick. Like I look at the RoomPact stats, the number of texts we sent skyrocketed at the end of 2020 and throughout 2021 into 2022. So I think it's something new. It's something that folks are still figuring out a little bit, but I think there's some things that we've learned over time about it.
Well, and I guess one clarification, because my mind went to is like, oh, I wonder like maybe what was sort of the sort of like use case that caused so much more utilization of the text messaging. So I'm thinking like, okay, like what are the things you couldn't do when everybody's sort of in lockdown and all that? And where like, I know that a lot of campuses are still empowering residence life that's to kind of be moderators and facilitators of like digital community. So is it sort of like that kind of thing of like, okay, instead of the door knock, it's like kind of texting and checking in and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
100%. So there are a few use cases kind of coming out of COVID-19. So RoomPact's text messaging capability is not as robust as those campus alert systems. They have like direct connections into the carriers. They send it. It's immediate. Ours is still like we will send messages, you know, right as we send them. There might be a slight delay, but it's not designed to the like enterprise level of a campus alert system. But people will use it for secondary messages. So you know, campus is closing, et cetera. This is happening. Residence Life would send out something saying, here's the dining hall hours on the last day or something like that. So as a secondary alert. So there was a lot of that initial at the very start. But then, as I think you alluded to there, it did turn into, how are you doing? How are things with your roommate? Like actual engagement style check-ins, like another way of reaching students and doing those kinds of check-ins. We had a lot of schools experiment with that successfully too, to figure out ways of how can we use this for reminders. Another thing it kind of you reminded me of. So when I did my PhD, I worked with Karen Arnold, who's at Boston College. She's my dissertation advisor. And one of the projects she was working on that I helped her with was text messaging engagement with students who were first generation low income. And so they utilized text messaging to remind them of dates, deadlines, do check-ins, kind of, and they extended it from high school all the way through their first year in college. And in that study, there was actually a lot of success in having students follow up on deadlines, engage and persist more because they had that kind of engagement. And the text messaging was the easy method of doing that because students are much more likely to check it, much more likely to read it more immediately. It's more timely, et cetera. So I think we're just even on the cusp of using it in those kinds of ways because there's not a lot of schools that I feel like that do. And this could do that. And we saw a lot of that in COVID years in particular.
Well, and yeah, and like having something like that kind of proven out and just being like, oh, okay, now I get it. Cause like, it might've been too, I don't know, abstract or just, you know, people are like not seeing how maybe they could kind of fit it into their sort of established workflows. And I think looking ahead to the future, to me, I'm always seeing like, okay, yeah, like it's not as if it's like, okay, I guess we can text and nobody has to go physically see anybody anymore. It's like, no, obviously there's like a really huge importance for that. But maybe if it's just sort of like, okay, you know, I keep missing one of my residents or, you know, I'm worried about them for one reason or another. It's like just another tool in your tool belt, or it's just like, yeah, you know, like they work and, you know, I keep knocking on the door, they're not there, whatever. You can kind of supplement what you're doing to provide that outreach. And then, like you said, like, it's really good, for those kind of like nudges and reminders and those sort of things of like, you know, like you're saying, maybe in the context of just sort of academic success around like deadlines and all that, but it can also be for, you know, signing up for housing for next year or, you know, doing one thing or another where it's like, hey, we need everybody to like fill out this form or something and kind of just like drive action where it's like a reply is not even necessary. And like, I'm sure maybe we'll get to this. It's like, you know, really trying to contextualize those sort of things where it's like, you know, the volume of messages happening is sort of like a metric that you can sort of like, wow, great. Yeah, there is just sort of a large, you know, volume activity. But sometimes it is just like, well, we should measure like, wow, like more people are actually like doing the things that we're asking them to do. Like they don't even need to reply to the message, but they're like, you know, taking the actions that we need to. And that's successful, you know, outcome of all this. So
yeah. Well, it's one of those things too. I don't know what it is when it comes to technology, because I train people on technology. I used it in my own career. Sometimes people just like lose sight of what their goals are when they're adopting a new technology platform, right? Like, oh, well, we've got this new tool. We can text residents. So we're just going to start texting them. And it's like, well, what are the goals? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose? You know, can we think through those things? Those things are still important. And you go in with a plan, so to speak. But also integrated into your practice. So anytime there's a new tool that you have, well, I always used to do it this way and I'm comfortable doing it this way. And this is a new way, which might actually be more efficient, but at the moment it's more efficient for me to keep doing what I know already how to do rather than try to figure out a new thing. Text messaging can sometimes have that feeling to it of, you know, oh, okay, I know it's there, but I've got these avenues and these work, but we kind of have to stretch the different methods. I think that's the beauty of COVID, right? Is it forced some change on folks to think things differently that probably we always should have, but maybe just didn't feel like we had the time to do it, to invest in that and figure it out and things like that. It kind of said, oh, well, now you have to do it now for better or for worse, but maybe better in some of the ways that we, you know, do our practice.
Yeah. And again, I mean, the core, you know, one of the big kind of core questions for this conversation is just like, you know, what makes this such a valuable tool? And, you know, I think a big one that you already mentioned around, you know, underrepresented students or low income students, like where it may be, obviously they're just working, you know, primarily off a mobile device. So any way that you can connect with them there in a way that they're very comfortable with, or it doesn't feel as formal as email and those sort of things. Like, I think that's one really big positive outcome, which I think, again, should be hopefully clearly articulated and followed up on at the outset before you kind of make the investment and sort of adjusting workflows and those sort of things. So I don't know if there's anything else sort of like big ticket kind of things that come to mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, it makes me think of the fact that one of the things that I've found with schools, like looking at their statistics, who's using it a lot, who's getting a lot of responses back, traction with it. More often than not, I'd say it's our smaller schools, students with smaller residential populations that use texting more frequently and get responses and engagement back from students more frequently. Our larger schools tend to have less of that. And I think if I reflect on, you know, even what I shared through some of the learning I did from the research that the folks were engaged at Boston College, I think that makes sense. Like, texting alone, you kind of almost have to build community around it for it to be more effective. So if I'm in a smaller environment at a small college where I expect high touch, and it's not unusual to expect that I would know people by name and that they might check in on me, that them texting me feels very natural. You know, if I'm at a larger school where I feel more disconnected from the staff, that I'm a little bit more one of many, and someone starts texting me, I might think, what is this for? This is odd. Why are you texting me? And so I don't think that means that large schools can't use it. But if I think it illuminates that there's a tie to a pre-existing community already there, or tone setting, right? So that if I'm bringing it in from the start that I'm working with my community, it becomes a community norm and it becomes expected, and people will use it more and more effectively. If I come in hot with a random message in the middle of the semester, having not done that prep work, it's probably only going to be good for occasional reminders, but not as a means of engagement, right? And I think that's kind of the conclusion I've come through when I look at the statistics and how schools use it, who's successful and how. That seems to be the biggest takeaway, is this is included in the community building efforts and has to be integrated in with it. It's not just a separate, we'll message them when, you know, something comes up and we're like, how can we get in touch with them quickly? Like, that it won't work for that. Anything outside of an informational, hey, don't forget this deadline is coming up. But if you really want that deeper level of engagement, you have to build community alongside it and set up the community in such a way that that is going to be effective.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because it's like kind of like level setting expectations for one thing, where it's just like, you can use this, but like, yeah, if you're a big school, you'd be like, hey, this is Paul. Like, how you doing? They're gonna be like, I don't know who this is, or something, because it's just like, you know, it's very difficult. Yeah, like difficult to kind of manage that sort of relationship or sort of, you know, familiarity. And it's almost like you almost do yourself a disservice, because it could come across as like disingenuous, where you're trying to kind of like, you know, make something out of nothing, versus like the smaller schools where it's like, you do that, be like, hey, this is Paul checking in. It's like, oh, hey, like, yeah, great. You know, good to hear from you. Yeah, I've been meaning to reach out. And I think for me, like, I, with a background in success coaching for online students, it was that idea where, you know, you'd anchor about, like, I mean, 200 max, ideally less, but of the online graduate students that we served, you know, around one coach, and you would, yeah, be calling, emailing, reaching out and all that. And it was always kind of around being like, hey, this is me. I'm reaching out, I'm checking in, I've got something to tell you, or, you know, hey, the semester's over, congrats, and those sort of things. So yeah, it was very relational. And I think, yeah, you just need to how you sort of measure it, be like, okay, this may be more transactional, because it's like, it is going to be a great vehicle to, yeah, like provide reminders and drive action, but it is going to be less effective in the relational area because we're serving 25,000 students, you know, and it's just like, that's just going to be very unwieldy, or I guess the way that you would have to do it would be to be comfortable with being like, hey, individual RAs, like all the RAs that we have working on campus, like, we're giving you this as a tool versus like, I'm sure some campuses are going to be like, I'm not comfortable with that or something. Like, I don't want them to, you know, have this tool. So,
We do. So one of the things about RoomText text messaging capability through Message Center is RAs have the ability to message their residents that way. And we do have some schools that say, RAs, I don't want you touching the text messaging. Or at least right now, especially if we have some of the newer schools, I first just kind of put that in there because obviously that can get out of control and be used in different ways if you're not ready to kind of train your staff on the usage of it and what's appropriate and what's not and things like that. And so we do have some schools that will say RAs shouldn't text, only professional staff members can text. Some don't want to touch the text messaging at all, maybe for different administrative reasons that may be on campus and how the campus tries to control the flow of communication. And then we have some schools that are like, have at it. Do whatever you want. It's completely open. So I frequently kind of see that range. And I've never made sense of like, are some schools predisposed to one or the other? I think I mentioned larger schools. I think maybe larger schools are a little bit predisposed to wanting to control information flow a little bit more, only because it's so easy for that to get out of hand because they're just so large that different people can go in different directions. But that's probably the only case where I've seen differing levels of how much do we want to engage us? How willing are we to democratize access to this tool and whatnot?
Yeah. I mean, I always err on the side of like being more democratized. Like that's just been always kind of my personal leadership style. So, but I get it. And that's the idea where like, having some flexibility and wanting to go into it intentionally of like, no, we want to take some time to train and norm and do these sort of things. And it's like, yeah, that's your prerogative. So yeah, it's good that it's like you kind of erred on that side. It's like, we can allow as open of access as you wish versus like, well, we assumed you didn't want anybody else using this or something. And it's like, no, we want everybody to use it. It's like, okay, I guess we have to like figure it out. So that's great. So I guess, is there anything else, I guess, that you want, you know, in terms of sort of, you know, this is an engagement tool, you know, you've articulated about sort of the particular student populations and sort of the campus size. Is there anything else that comes to mind just sort of generally of sort of why this is so valuable? We'll go for the rule of threes here.
Yeah. I think what's also really interesting is that sometimes students are more willing to disclose things in a text message than they are in person, or be more raw. Text messaging RoomText is not anonymous, meaning what ends up happening is each school is basically assigned a phone number that is their phone number. So when you send a message out, it comes from that phone number. We know what the student's phone numbers are that we're sending it to. So it goes to that student. They reply back. We match their phone number back to their profile and then like log all of the conversations back and forth in there. So it's not an anonymous tool, but it does breed a familiarity where I think students are sometimes willing to express things that might be more difficult to do so verbally. You know, there's another tool that we have that utilizes text messaging, whole nother topic, called micro surveys. And a lot of folks will use that to pull their residents to say, how are things going with your roommate? And that can be a great way of collecting information very quickly. Okay, let's have the RA then go in and follow up on these rooms personally. So it can be a method for kind of eliciting things that maybe residents are reticent to express through any other medium. And so I think that also kind of helps you reach other students, you know, in a different way. And I think that's what makes it so helpful.
Right. Well, because I think, yeah, the micro surveys is the interesting thing, because like, I think there's a lot of different schools of thought, and it's like you can kind of maybe blend all of it together where you might have your RAs obviously like amidst their community, getting a pulse check and that sort of thing, having that sort of objective like survey, like give me like a numeric score of like, how do you think things are going at any particular moment? And, you know, other perhaps metrics around kind of just like, you know, if you're trying to kind of track like sentiment of just like, wow, there's been a lot of incidents in, you know, this building, or, you know, a lot of requests for room changes or something like that. You can kind of like, okay, the RAs say this, like, it's kind of anecdotal. This is what their point of view is. Residents are saying this, but like, you know, surveys, you know, it's a snapshot, and you know, they might, and I'll be inclined to answer one way or another because they know it's like an institutional survey, but then it's like, okay, like what are students showing us through their like behavior or something, like, you know, that they're yeah, just seeming to like not have a lot of respect for their neighbors or each other, you know, or the community itself or something. So it's just interesting that you could kind of, you know, that could maybe gauge, help you to gauge like what types of programming to do or different things, and kind of put all this stuff together. So it's just like that idea of kind of information flowing both ways. So it's like that survey idea just really like kind of got me going there, clearly, of just like a lot that you could do at that to try to help inform what you're doing versus maybe kind of just, you know, going into the dark, or you're just like, I don't know, like we're doing what we think is right versus like having different avenues to get feedback.
Well, and I think that's the kind of the difference of using the text messaging with the written room pack too, is a lot of, let's say, RAs would create their own WhatsApp groups for their floors where they could then share, hey, we're going to dinner or this or that. That's still a common behavior. I think room pack kind of sits alongside that. In some ways it can replace some pieces of that, but really, like, you know, as someone who's researched social media and college student behavior, trying to students to adopt a platform that's not the one that they're using natively is pretty much an uphill battle on anything. So if you like using WhatsApp, great, we'll use WhatsApp. That's going to be the community building, the sharing, the things like that. And then I think the text messaging through RoomPack layers on a not formal, but slightly more formal method of a formal informal method. How about that? Of getting back feedback or touching base in a you know, more kind of controlled way than some of those WhatsApp things would do. I think the other nice thing about the messaging in RoomPact is, you know, we record everything. So if you need to recall the history of that message thread, it's tied to the student's profile in RoomPact, and you can pull that up later so that you can reference it. Versus if it's happening in a WhatsApp group, it just exists in that WhatsApp group, right? And no one else can see it or access it and follow up on it. This allows that kind of like, oh, when I'm working with a student, oh, okay, here's where they are. I can pull up those records and be able to immediately get up to speed versus it would be lost, you know, if it was trapped in a different platform.
Yeah, it's even the idea, or you could maybe just like, maybe you do this, or, you know, maybe it's just up to individual users, but just like, you know, potentially like flagging where it's just like, oh, this person is like highly engaged. Like they've been having a lot of messages of like, and it might even take like scrutiny to where that's just like a flag of just sort of like X amount over some time span or something. But like, you know, so it's like, okay, well, let me look into this a little bit further. Like, oh, okay, it's pretty benign, like nothing, you know, too relevant one way or another, but it could be like, wow, highly engaged student. Like they've had a lot of messages over the past 30 days and they've all been about like problems and questions and, you know, they're hitting friction and all that. So it's like, all right, we need to make sure, you know, we do right by this resident and things like that. Or they just are like, you know, really engaged in a positive way. And it's like, hey, maybe they're like an RA candidate or something. I don't know. So yeah, I mean, they're all of this stuff, I think, you know, we're already kind of getting into what'll be our kind of final framing question here around just sort of, you know, the best practices, the pro tips. And I know you have some of the kind of just like foundational things you got to do when you're implementing a strategy like this, you know, using texting as an engagement tool. So wherever you want to start, what are the things that people really need to be conscious of and sort of how they can kind of layer their strategy to be the most successful?
Yeah, I think the first thing comes with, where are those phone numbers coming from? And so what we've found sometimes too is the phone numbers that get sent to us for the students usually originate with a student's housing contract. That's probably where a phone number is originally captured. A lot of schools will find when they text at the beginning of the year that rather than texting the resident, they're texting the mother or father of the resident or whoever filled out the housing application for that student. And they get these random messages and the parents will say, this isn't intended for me. So I think the number one thing is, how are you collecting those phone numbers? You know, are they clear? Is it a transparent process? You know, if I were to design a housing application where I knew I was going to use that phone number, I'd say, please provide us with your phone number. We may occasionally text you with important updates while you're living with us at this number to kind of impress upon, okay, this really needs to be the residence number. But also communicate, how are we going to use this so that folks know if there's an opt-out option saying, no, I don't want to be able to receive those. You could also collect that up front and things like that. We do have schools that will have that, and then they just don't send us a phone number for that student. And then we don't text them because we can't. But I think kind of going along with that, kind of that responsibility to students when you're going to use those phone numbers is also communicating their unsubscribe rights. So RoomPack, like most text messaging platforms, has to provide an opt out of text messaging in one form or another. We use the kind of industry standard reply stop to reply, you know, stop receiving messages. But that's something that needs to be communicated to the students. So we never actually share that up front. We leave that on the schools to communicate however they want of, you know, here's how you would unsubscribe. So I think get those phone numbers in, but then communicate to residents, here's how we're going to use them. So one example I give schools is at a first floor meeting, some kind of initial activity, have the RA or whomever's facilitating it say, hey, I want you all to get out your phones. I want you to save this phone number in your phone right now. This is University Housing. We will occasionally text message you with questions or important updates or things like that. So please save in your phone so that you know that it's us. If at any point you want to unsubscribe for these, just reply stop and they will stop. But you kind of need to do that kind of pre-setup tasks really in order to be effective. But then it just turns into how do you use it? You know, how does that actually work in practice? What we've found, schools that use it selectively will often be more effective. So if you're overusing the tool, it will start to people will get fatigue, just like survey fatigue, and it will kind of blunt the impact of those text messages. So there is kind of a sweet spot of over texting, could text more, where you got to find that happy medium. Because otherwise you'll see your students will start unsubscribing at high rates. That's something I check in with schools yearly on to say, hey, here's your unsubscribe rate. I've found in practice that if a school's unsubscribe rate jumps over 2%, that's when we're getting into dangerous territory. That means you're texting too much. I had a school with a 10% unsubscribe rate once, and I looked at their usage and it confirmed what I thought it was. And I told them, I would dial that back a little bit because I think you're using it too much, that it's actually now becoming less effective over time.
Yeah. Well, it makes me think of it makes me think of like when it's campaign season, when it's election season and you're getting berated, you know, it's that sort of thing. It's like, if you're not sure what's too much, that's too much. Like whatever, you're just getting so many messages repeatedly.
For me, during political campaign season, one text message is too much. But that's exactly right. I mean, that's another great way of thinking about it is think about when you receive text messages, how do you like to receive them? That's the same is true of your residents, right? Like too many is too many. It gets annoying at a certain point. And so you need to think that through. Especially if you have a lot of different people can initiate texts, you know, are we coordinating that in any kind of way? I think that leads to some of the schools saying we don't want RAs texting or this, or try to control it a little bit, is because there is some aspect of wanting to not overuse it. So you may need to put some levels of control in there just to keep it from getting overwhelming on the student. So you don't have five people messaging them the same thing at the same time, right? That's important too.
Yeah. I guess the other example lately is like, you know, especially over like the holiday season, is like buying things and you put your text, you know, you get text from them because you put your phone number in, those sort of things. Like, that's a really good idea. It's like really checking in with yourself, because like so much of this is kind of just like emotional. Like I'm sure some people out there, like, you know, will try to prescribe like this is the optimal number of texts and the time to send them or this or that, the other thing. And it's like, yeah, I mean, those are helpful shorthands, but like, you know, you do want to just like honor almost like that feeling of like, if you feel like it's too much, it probably is. So maybe just, like reevaluate, you know, your strategy there. So, because I think that how we've kind of talked about here is like text messaging is just like an avenue amidst many avenues to convey information. And so it could be like, okay, this maybe is better for an email. It's a little bit, you know, just a longer form thing, or, you know, we do want to kind of enshrine this on the website, or maybe we just have the RAs go and knock on doors and talk to people, or, you know, slip a piece of paper under their door or something, even like, you know, there could just be things where it's like, you know, even just trying to ensure compliance or people following through. I'm just thinking, if it's like, okay, we need people to like sign the like a hard copy and all that, it's like, I printed them all out for you, like I put them under your door, just like give them back to me, like that's all you got to do, versus like, no, you go print and you go figure it out, you do this or that or whatever. It's like, just think through. And it's like, that's where like there's going to be a beautiful harmony of everything, of like, what's the message that you're trying to convey, what's the response, if any, that you need, and just kind of like, yeah, throttling all these different kind of sliders you have on your board, where it's like, okay, we want to use, you know, texting here, this is going to be better for that, we've been doing this a little too much, so we're going to slide it back, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
well, I mean, it's the same thing with surveys, right? Like, I having distributed surveys long enough, digital is certainly easier, right? It's simpler, it's less resource intensive, it's better for the planet. But if you physically bring surveys to a floor meeting and say, fill these out and hand them back to me before you leave, you're going to get a much higher response rate than from a digital survey, right? So the method sometimes matters depending on what your outcomes are, that one might be more effective for certain things than another might be. And text messages falls into that category. There's certain things where text messages might be really effective, short, bite size, quick pulses, but you're not going to get long detailed responses and all the nuance and things like that. So it's not suited for that. So if I'm checking in, hey, I want to check in just how are things going with your roommate, I'm going to get a short response, but that's probably going to have to be followed up with an in-person meeting or something like that to dig into that stuff, because a text message isn't, it's just not suited for that. It's only suited for kind of getting initial surface reactions and things like that.
Yeah. Well, and I think so much of like just like digital communities for me is that like it can serve as the catalyst toward the, you know, the deeper or the in-person, those sort of things. So I think that is just a good general framing of like, how do we want to try to catalyze, you know, further action or further community building or, you know, relationship building, those sort of things. So I think, though, we will leave it there. I appreciate you so much for sharing all of the expertise that you have in this area. Again, I think it is such a very valuable tool to help supplement, especially residence life professionals in their work every day. So, yeah, really good stuff. And I know there's some resources that we'll share on this as well for folks to check out. So,
yeah, I'm gonna provide a link that will go into more detail. And I'll leave you with two practical things about text messaging. One, text messaging has character limits. So you can't go past a certain amount. We do have schools that try to do that. In the link I'll share for the show notes, there's an actual real text message that was truncated, you know, cut off in an unfortunate location that changed the meaning of the text. So you always have to be mindful of that. And then two, avoid links. One thing that we're not immune to is text carriers try to filter out spam. And so if I'm including things like Google Doc links or really odd links like that, it's going to go into the spam folder. So those are my two little practical takeaways that I always try to reiterate to folks when they go down this path. So I'll leave you with those little extra bits that if you go down this path, dig into some of those practical pieces too.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, because I think, yeah, we got in a lot of more of the kind of the philosophical and sort of, you know, that's like,
sure, yeah, but what are the nuts and bolts, the nuts and bolts people, that those are my two takeaways for you.
Perfect. Yeah, well, just thank you again, Paul, for hanging out and sharing all that you did. And as always, we'll have ways to connect with you and the resources you mentioned in the show notes for this episode. So yeah, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Dustin.